Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Today's show is different than our usual fare. We're going to be talking about a polarizing but important topic, the role of racism in American healthcare. We know this is a galvanizing topic because people generally don't like the idea of their actions being considered racist. But Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing says it's time to have this difficult conversation and make positive changes in healthcare. We've talked before about race as a determining factor in health and healthcare, but Dr. Myers says a different angle is even more revealing and instructive as healthcare professionals think about how they can improve their patients' lives. Dr. Myers has written an essay about the role of racism in healthcare, scheduled to be published later this year. She's here to break it down for us. Dr. Myers, welcome to Health Connections.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here, Brandon, and have this conversation with you.
As I mentioned in the introduction, this is related to a topic that we've discussed before, that race influences one's health. You say it's accurate to say that racism imposes a negative burden on health. What is the difference between saying racism instead of race?
Thanks for that question, because it lets me say something I often say that I think is so important. Words matter. Race and racism are not the same. So let's look at these two words that will frame our discussion today. Race is simply a label. It's a subjective classification, and it's based on skin color. It's what we call a social construct. Racism, though, is the belief that your personality, your behavior, your morals can be traced to race, and this is an important and, one's race is superior to another. Racism results in systems of structuring opportunities and assigning values based on physical characteristics. So racism, which is attitudes and actions, intended or not, subordinate an individual or a group of individuals. And it's this that causes health disparities, not the color of one's skin.
Let's go back to that difference of race and racism. How does racism manifest? How do you know it when you see it in healthcare systems across the country?
Well, the simple answer to that question, Brandon, is that there are inequities in opportunities and in the systems that people encounter related to health and healthcare. So to address racism, we must address the social structures, the institutions, and the policies that afford some populations advantages and leave other populations behind, suffering from pervasive disadvantages. The pandemic revealed many of the disparities and disadvantages that need to be addressed. We see differences in income and your ability to withstand being laid off from work or a furlough from work, your ability to be able to continue to buy food. We see that beyond income, there's major differences in wealth and, you know, assets that you have access to weather a storm like the COVID-19 pandemic. Employment security and safety are very different between, let's say, Black Americans and white Americans. And then we know that your access to healthcare is influenced by your race and other social characteristics. So we look at things like access to healthcare, access to food, childcare, sick leave. All these things tend to be concentrated in what we would call more disadvantaged populations. And those differences, in many cases, have their root in racism, which again is the structures, policies, and systems that don't afford the same opportunities to all people.
What we're talking about here is not the kind of racism that a lot of people think of immediately, like somebody being turned away at the doctor's office because of their skin color, these overt, intentional actions that many people only define as racism, but more about assumptions and other characteristics that we may be completely unaware of, but are built into systems of healthcare.
Exactly. And I think this really helps us understand racism a little bit more. First off, it is, as you said, Brandon, the intentional and unintentional things that occur to people that are in marginalized groups. And racism can occur at the individual level, you and I having interactions, or it can be codified into the fabric of institutions, policies, and laws. And what we know is a lot of the mechanisms that have direct health effects are related to the stress of encountering those barriers on a day-to-day basis, or, as you've said, the anticipation of that, that it doesn't matter how good my grades are, I'm not going to get into this college. I really want this job, and I am the most qualified person, but when they see me, I'm not going to have the leg up that I need. So you're right. It's intentional, unintentional. It's actual. It's perceived to be an event that didn't actually happen, and it occurs at the institutional and the individual level.
As I mentioned in my introduction, our conversation today is based on an essay that you recently wrote, encouraging your professional colleagues to, in your words, get political, to embrace change that will lead to better health outcomes for Black people. What kind of changes do you have in mind?
Well, we have to first accept the fact that to change this, to turn around this pattern of racism, it requires systemic change. And that's not easy. People of diverse perspectives have to come together for common purpose. That sounds pretty hard, doesn't it? Particularly in today's environment. But I'm encouraged, Brandon, that there is a critical mass of Americans coalescing around the goal of equity and justice, that we want to be what we said we would be when this country was established. What can be done? And I'm going to bring it down to the level of what can our listeners do? Well, most important is to be an informed and an engaged voter and citizen. It's going to vote when you have the opportunity, but it's staying engaged in between. I think people need to align themselves with and actively promote enlightened policy changes and champion these changes and the people who are leading these changes. We need to do things like meet with elected officials and other policymakers and key stakeholders. This is the way we can find our common interest. Citizens should engage in simple activities that have power, like writing letters to the editor, writing op-eds. Oh, and did I say you need to vote? So we need to dismantle the policies that perpetuate racial and other disparities and strive for those policies that have equity at their core.
As you and I know, Dr. Myers, because we read the headlines, we're aware of what's going on nationally. There are tons of these conversations. They're happening in our business, in public radio. They're happening in law enforcement, in city government, all kinds of areas of our lives where we're having this conversation about, gee, have we been unknowingly or knowingly doing something wrong that's disenfranchising people? So it seems like this kind of conversation is happening all over the country. For you and for healthcare, why is it right to issue this call now?
Why now? That's a great question. My first answer is because it's 2020. The COVID-19 pandemic precipitated a grim reckoning when it comes to racial and other health disparities. Black people have been hit particularly hard by the pandemic. They have died at considerably higher rates, and they are more acutely suffering the economic consequences. And I say Black Americans, but we know this is true with Brown Americans also. So it really does get into that issue of racism. The other thing that's so important here with 2020 is the police killings of Black people, the confluence of excess COVID-19 deaths, and the killing of George Floyd erupted into social unrest based on discontent and distress that just boiled over. And there it was every night on the news, in the newspapers, on the radio. It's important to know that Black Americans are 3 times more likely to be killed by police than white Americans. Imagine that statistic on top of what was going on with the COVID-19 pandemic and the extra burden that people of color were suffering. The other thing that's unique about 2020, Brandon, it's an election year. So we're having an election in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of major social unrest and sharp political divisions in our country, and an uptick in overt racism. So all of these things are boiling together in this cauldron that is a call to Americans, what do you want for our country? So that's why I am urging our listeners, healthcare professionals, with my essay to get involved, because this is a critical juncture in our country, and we've gotten a lot of signs, and we need to respond to those signs of inequities, discontent, social unrest.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Her essay on the role of racism in healthcare is scheduled to be published in a nursing journal this coming November. She was kind enough to give us a preview of her essay in this edition of Health Connections. Dr. Myers, thank you again for a thought-provoking conversation.
Thank you, Brandon. Pleasure's mine.